When God decided to create man, he immediately knew there would be a problem. He knew man would sin and be eternally separated from him. So even before he laid the foundation of the world, God foreordained his eternal Son to hang on a cross between himself and mankind to mediate a plan of redemption. This is why the Son of God came down to earth and became the Son of Man. And this is why we take time every year to remember the birth of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world, and the King of Glory. Let's review. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. But there was no room for them in the inn.
Weary travelers walking the road to Bethlehem that day. Mary and Joseph, weary and worn, no place for them to stay. No room, no room for them there. Oh, what a time of lonely despair. Weary travelers walking the road to Bethlehem.
son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. And Joseph called his name Jesus.
Was he born?
And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
Shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. The angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around, and glory shone around.
unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Jesus left heaven above. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled.
Joyful all ye nations rise,
join the triumph of the skies.
From all appearances, this was an ordinary human birth. But this newborn baby was no ordinary person. There was something very different about him, and his arrival brought something very different into the world. This person was fully human, but he was also fully God. This was Emmanuel. This was God with us. This was God come in human flesh. This was truly different than anything the world had ever seen before.
What's in the air that makes it different tonight? Stars in the sky are shining ever so bright. Over this place there shines a holy light. What's in the air that makes it different tonight? Shepherds on the hillside hear the angels sing. Glory to God, all hail the newborn King. I know there's something different. Tonight is not the same. I can tell there's something. Close your eyes, hush, baby dear. Mother's arms now hold you near. You are my little child. You are our Savior and our Redeemer. So sleep, sleep. Close your eyes, hush, baby dear. Mother's arms now hold you near. You are my little child. You are our Savior and our Redeemer, so sleep, Jesus.
His birth, of course, was just the beginning. It would be followed by 33 years of living, leading to one day of suffering, bleeding, and dying. Suffering to bear our sins. Bleeding to pay the price of our redemption. And dying to conquer death for us. For in dying, Jesus would rise again and give us the promise of life that would be guaranteed for eternity. So the Bible says, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us all. Will you trust him? Simply trust him, and eternal life can be yours.
Yes.
simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly does His Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. Where He leads, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Simply trusting, hear Him call. Simply trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing, if my way is clear, praying, if the path be drear, if in danger for Him call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting Him while life shall last, trusting Him till earth be past, till within the jasper wall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Simply trusting, hear Him call. Simply trusting Jesus, that is all. Simply trusting Jesus, that is all.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. What will you do? Will you believe and be saved? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Will you receive? Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. God and man are so different. They're like two parallel lines extending into infinity and never able to intersect. God didn't intend for it to be like this. Isaiah 43, verse 7 says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." And drop down to verse 21 in the same chapter. And he says, "This people have I formed for myself." That's why he created man. He wanted man to be for himself. He created him for his glory. He wanted the lives of men and himself to intersect throughout eternity. But in the person of Adam, mankind turned away from God. So that instead of the lives of God and man intersecting, by man's sin, the life of God and the lives of men became parallel, never intersecting, but separate forever. A mediator, therefore, was needed to bring them back together. A mediator is one who intervenes between two in order to restore peace and friendship. A mediator is one that places himself between parties in conflict for the purpose of reconciling them. And this is what Jesus did for us. First, look at Jesus in heaven. Would you, Isaiah chapter 6? That's where he was before he came to earth. In Isaiah chapter 6, and verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Over in John chapter 12, John explains to us that the person that Isaiah was seeing on the throne at this very moment was in fact the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. In John chapter 12, John quotes from Isaiah chapter 6. In verse 39 of John chapter 12, "Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them." And then John says, "These things said Isaiah when he," Isaiah, "saw his," Jesus Christ's, "glory." Well, there you go. Jesus was in heaven, sitting upon the throne of glory. But then he became a man. We've looked at it a few times lately, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5, where it says that God the Father prepared a body for Jesus. When did the Son of God actually come to the earth? Was it when he was born in Bethlehem, or was it when he was conceived in Mary's womb? Probably the latter, that's what I would say, which is when the Father prepared a body for him. Look over in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. She wasn't troubled at seeing him. Isn't that interesting? She was only troubled at what he said. Me, highly favored, speaks of her humility. And cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Holy Spirit will prepare the body in the womb. And in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found of child of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was on earth in Mary's womb for 9 months before he was born in Bethlehem. And he was born in Bethlehem there in Luke chapter 2 and verse 6. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. I wonder what it was like for the eternal Son of God, who's used to sitting on the throne of glory in heaven, to be in Mary's womb for 9 months. He's not used to time. That was a sacrifice. Verse 7 of Luke chapter 2, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. What was it like for the eternal Son of God to submit to the limitations of infancy? He had to be fed. I know he's eternal God, but remember, he made himself of no reputation, so he submits himself to the limitations of this tiny human body. As soon as he was born, he didn't jump up and feed himself. He had to be fed. He had to be changed. He had to be carried. Imagine the one who was accustomed to having glorious creatures singing, Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, having to submit to such things. What was it like for the eternal Son of God to submit to the human growth process? He had to adjust to his body as it grew. He had to learn, or did he bring all of his foreknowledge with him? Remember, he made himself of no reputation, so perhaps he also submitted to the learning process. What was it like for the eternal Son of God to submit to human temptations? Oh, yet without sin. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Jesus knew all about God because he is God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He knows exactly what it's like to be God, because he is God. But he also knows exactly what it's like to be man, because he is man. Verse 7. but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men and being found in fashion as a man, 100%, entirely. And as that man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here is this person, unlike anyone else, who knows all about God because he is God and knows all about man because he is man. And thus he became the bridge to bring man back to God. Notice it says in verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that, why is he exalted? He's exalted so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. In verse 11, and that is exalted so that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you understand Jesus as he is, both God and man, and understand what he did as man to bring us back to God, being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and in that death, bearing our sins in his body on the tree, shedding his blood and paying the price for our redemption. And in that work, totally satisfying God the Father so that we could be forgiven. If you believe that and bow your knee and confess with your tongue the Lord Jesus Christ, your life can intersect with God's. The peace of Christmas is not good feelings men should have towards each other. Rather, the peace of Christmas is the coming of the mediator who would make it possible for unholy men to have peace with God so that they can bow the knee and confess with the tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. Have you bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus? Have you confessed with your tongue that he is Lord and Savior? If you have not yet done that, we invite you today. See Jesus as he is, God and man, the mediator between the two, to bring you to God. If you'll trust him, simply trust him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is the mediator. And he can bring us back to you. Thank you for those among us who have already bowed the knee and confessed with the tongue. Lord, if there's anyone here who has not yet done that, who's not yet confessed their sin before you and confessed Jesus as Savior, bowed the knee before you and called upon your name and received Christ as Savior, Lord, work in their heart today. Bring them to faith in Christ. And may we all rejoice together because of the coming of Christ to this earth to bring us back to you with gratefulness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.